Welcome, 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 Antelope Valley. My name is Elena Schofield, and this is my first radio talk show. I'm launching it, Voices of Reason in the Valley. The goals of my show is to engage the community, to inform, to connect, and to promote and build community. I'm so excited about this. We will be talking about topics, contemporary issues, and I solicit your feedback. So if you have any comments or concerns, I welcome you to email me. I really would love the feedback, but I want you to keep it positive. I don't want any kind of hate speech. If you're going to come correct with respect. You can email all of your concerns or comments to voicesofreasonInTheValley@gmail.com. Once again, voicesofreasonInTheValley@gmail.com. So let's get started with our show today. I want to talk a little bit about the NAACP before I bring Mr. Braggs on, who is our featured guest today. The NAACP, known as the National, it's an acronym for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It was founded in 1909 in response to ongoing violence against Black people around the nation. It is considered to be the largest and most preeminent civil rights organization in the United States. The mission of the NAACP is to secure the political, educational, social, and economic equality of rights in order to eliminate race-based discrimination and ensure the health and well-being of all people. The NAACP has 2,200 units and branches and about 2 million activists as members, or 2 million members that are actually activists. It started a legal fund component in 1940, and about 17 years later, in 1957, that legal defense fund became its own separate entity. But that legal defense fund to date is recognized as the nation's first civil and human rights law organization and shares commitment to equal rights as the NAACP. So my guest today is Alonzo Braggs. He is, and I endorse him, he is a candidate for the presidency of the Antelope Valley NAACP. Welcome, Mr. Braggs.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Braggs, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm Alonzo Braggs, and I'm a native of North Carolina. I am a 20-year Army veteran, as well as I've been in the Methodist ministry for 43 years, and I've served in several capacities. Presently, I pastor St. James Temple, AME Zion Church in Alaska, as well as the People's AME Zion Church here in Palmdale, California. And I preside over the Los Angeles District, which encompasses Los Angeles County. I also preside over the Anchorage Fairbanks District, which is all of our churches in the state of Alaska. And I preside over the Cascade District, which encompasses all of our churches in the states of Oregon and Washington.
That is totally awesome. Impressive. Respectively. Mr. Braggs, what is your vision or tangible goals as leader of or president of the NAACP in the Antelope Valley?
Well, I have served in the community, and because the Methodist Church is has an Episcopal form of governance, which means that we rule from the top, and it also means that a part of our polity is that we serve in an itinerant capacity. As an itinerant leader in the faith community, I am called and commissioned to serve outside of the walls of my assigned congregation. That has led me to be involved wherever I have been assigned in various organizations and capacities, as well as to hold various roles in those different leadership capacities. And I've done that. So cumulatively, based on those roles and seeing needs and working to meet needs in the community, coming to the Antelope Valley, I bring those same passions of serving the greater community, of being actively involved in that greater community. And so now as I seek the office of president, I seek to serve in a capacity where I can unify the community, where I believe that our support and participation is one that promotes inclusiveness as opposed to exclusion.
Yeah.
And also those that advocate on behalf of those who have been suppressed and oppressed. I believe in the reality of the modern day pharaohs and those who would oppress and enslave, and in some cases by any means necessary. And so I am very comfortable in the fact of the seeking the opportunity to be a Moses that would seek to liberate the people of my community so that they can function and cohabitate in a healthier society.
Wow, that is so awesome. You know, given all that is happening in our global community, our national community, as well as our local community, voter suppression seems to be prevalent when we talk about oppression and we talk about the NAACP and its role as far as promoting and addressing social issues or social equality. I looked up voter suppression and it's definitively defined as a strategy used to influence the outcome of an election by discouraging or preventing specific groups of people from voting. Also systemic racism, something that we are dealing with locally, nationally, and also globally. It deals with racial inequality and involves structural and institutional racism. Now, when we talk about voter suppression, I just wanted to talk about how my observation here in the Antelope Valley is that there are so many people that are disengaged. They are not participating in the voting process. And so we have to kind of try to put our fingers on why, or pinpoint the why people, especially people of color, are so apathetic about actually engaging in the voting process, rather. The ACLU states our democracy works best when all eligible voters can participate and have their voices heard. So we're dealing with eligible voters. And what is an eligible voter?
An eligible voter is one who has met all of the constitutional requirements to participate in the election process.
Okay.
In basic, those basic prerequisites are that you are of the age of 18 at the time the election is held,
mm-hmm.
and that you are a citizen authorized to participate in the process.
Yes.
Now, there are some who, by virtue of unhealthy activities, whose voting rights and privileges may have been suspended or stripped, And should that be the case, there are mechanisms in place for that restoration. Yes. And once all of those requirements have been met, then those persons also are eligible to, again, participate. A case in point or an example would be someone who has previously been incarcerated. And so once they have completed probation, parole, and restitution, then certainly they are eligible to participate.
Okay. I was looking up voter suppression and getting all involved in just how it's actually across our nation, how voter ID laws and voter registration restrictions and voter purges and felon disenfranchisement that you just spoke of as far as being incarcerated or incarcerated people. You have gerrymandering and so many other strategies to deter people from actually voting. Voting should be an easy process. But what happens when people are conditioned or they don't, there's communities that don't really promote the power of the vote? How would we actually empower people to participate in the voting process?
I think the greatest methodology of empowering, and I want us to be careful about empowering people to vote, because it would infer that you don't have that power and right. that somebody can give you that power.
Okay.
By virtue of your birth
right.
and having lived a healthy life socially, per se,
mm-hmm.
You have the power.
Yes.
So I think that there has to be greater clarity first.
Yes.
So we have the power. The mm-hmm. concern in the community by most is why we don't exercise the power.
Yes.
And the lack of exercising that power perhaps is where our energy can best well be spent.
Right.
Perhaps some of the reasons that we don't exercise that power is because we don't see the effectiveness of those who have exercised that power. Those who vote and we see no change. Those who rally others to the poll and we see no change. Or we see legislation that has been passed, but we don't see a change. And so it causes individuals to be disheartened
mm-hmm.
and to perhaps feel that there is no value
yes.
in the process or what the process produces. And so I would contend that one of the things that should happen and could happen is more people would first of all, participate.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, that through other people participating, we work to change the participants.
Mm-hmm.
So not only more people participating, but more a different participants.
Yes.
And that those new participants would have a different view
mm-hmm.
and mindset and exposure
yes.
and conditioning.
Yes.
Because if we are electing the same people
mm-hmm.
and they are effecting no change,
mm-hmm.
which advance the total community, mm-hmm. then we do come to the reasonable understanding. Why
conclusion.
Would my
yes.
vote make a difference?
Yes.
So, I think empowering
mm-hmm.
Has to be readdressed more to an engaging
yes.
And equipping per se and enabling type versus the empowerment, because we have the power.
Yes.
We need to identify why we're not using that power.
Exercising that right.
Mm-hmm.
My take is that people, or I should say communities as a whole, and we talk about the Antelope Valley community, I think that it is an onslaught against a democracy when we do not promote the power, or we don't promote voting. We don't teach it. We're not engaging our young people. I think that teachers, and I think that local politicians, I think that administrators, I think that clergy, I think the whole community as a whole, even law enforcement, everybody should be trying to teach or breed an environment where young people understand that voting gives them a voice. And me being raised in Washington, D.C. in a political climate, at 18, I started voting and I've never stopped, because I was in a family, first of all, first and foremost, and then in a community, in a society where people understood that voting gives them power. And I think that is something that we need to really harness and really promote here in the Antelope Valley through grassroots efforts, and just to really go out there. And Georgia actually showed us the way, you know, to get people engaged. I mean, to go to each individual resident and try to let them know you have power when you register to vote, if you are eligible, and then to assist those individuals that have need of restoration to be able to restore their power to vote. But I think that because of my observation running for mayor and talking and engaging with individuals in the community, how so many people are just, they don't vote. And one guy in particular, I was in the 99 cent store and I was talking to him. He had two teenage sons and a younger son that maybe looked like elementary school age. And he said he didn't vote. And I'm like, looking at him, I was like, well, why not? And he said, I just don't. And so I said, do you know that voting gives you power, that you have power in your vote? And I said, and you have two teenage sons and you need to teach them that, because that's important. And he said, yes. And so I left him with something to think about. And he said he would go and register to vote. I'm going to take a break right now. And I want to give a shout out to Ruth Sanchez in the Antelope Valley. She's known as Helping the Homeless. Ruth Sanchez has a GoFundMe account. She has a goal of $10,000. She's halfway there. She's been doing this for many years now. I think she's been giving out coats in the Antelope Valley for about 7 years, and she's been engaged with helping or being a community activist and helping the community for about 15 years. So I want you to actually, what you can do is you can take your phone, or you can actually go online on the computer and type in the search browser, GoFundMe Jackets for the Homeless. GoFundMe Jackets for the Homeless, and Ruth Sanchez will actually pop up, and that GoFundMe account will become available to you, where you can send money there. Hey guys, look, we live in the Antelope Valley. It gets really cold outside, and for people that are homeless, they need assistance. So Ruth Sanchez and her organization, they give away care packets, they give away coats, and they also feed the homeless. So I'm going to give you her email address. Her email address is Ara Sanchez, S-A-N-C-H-E-Z, at DoloresHueta.org. That's DoloresHueta.org. R. Sanchez at DoloresHueta.org. Also, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Gracie Taylor, who has Step Up and Hold My Hand Ministry. It's a nonprofit organization that provides anger management, parenting, and counseling and other resources. At during COVID, she's offering Zoom courses. And you can contact her at 661-974-3628. And we're going to wrap up our show today. Thank you, Mr. Braggs, for your participation. I appreciate you. I hope you guys have engaged with us. Send in some topics of suggestion that you want to talk about. And just know that I love you and I care about you. And we're going to make this community a better place.